And we turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 11 and to verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you turn to Matthew 7 and to verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The only difference being good things in Matthew and the Holy Spirit in Luke. Now, as I've often told you, the Lord Jesus often taught the same things or gave examples and parables and pictures, but sometimes used them to apply different lessons. This is one of those occasions. Now, Matthew 7 is part of the teaching of the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Very early in his ministry. And you remember the preface to the Sermon on the Mount is, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. In other words, what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount is given to his disciples in the presence of the multitudes, so that they would all hear the instruction given to the believers, so that they would all know what standards were expected of the believers. Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, instructed his believers in the presence of the multitudes. It might also have the effect of persuading some of the multitudes, by the ministry of the Spirit themselves, to become disciples. But there, that's the situation. And on that occasion, Jesus gave this example. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone who asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. The whole package, so to speak, is identical to what he used later. What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Whereas in Luke he also adds, if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? But the significant thing is that when he's speaking to his disciples early on in the ministry, and just gathered them together in front of the multitudes of people, he says to them, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We are evil. Very powerful expression. Jesus said to the whole crowd, if ye, being evil, ordinary people, his disciples, being evil, that is to say wicked in Adam, if ye then, being evil, but you do give good gifts to your children. Not only do you give good gifts to them when they ask, but you also take initiatives and give them good gifts. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He's only talking about the things they ask for, not the initiatives that God might take, which are very wonderful. Those of you who are parents know wonderfully how you think of what children would like and what you would give them, as well as responding to the things for which they ask. Now, in Luke, we have a quite different application of the same truth. Or rather, an intensified application of the same truth. It's much later in his ministry, and he's out with his disciples, and when he'd finished praying, and immediately after the story of Mary and Martha, when he'd finished praying, they asked him to teach them how to pray. And in giving what we call the Lord's Prayer, he goes on to illustrate about asking repeatedly. If you have a friend comes to stay with you and you're not prepared, and you go to another friend nearby and you knock him up at midnight and you say, I need bread for my friend, will you give me? And rather sleepily the friend says, I can't get up now, wait till the morning. But the man keeps knocking at the door and making a nuisance of himself, so he can't get back to sleep. And so reluctantly he gets out of bed, gets as much bread as he wants and gives it to him. And I expect that rang true with many people. And Jesus said unto him, now, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, he'll do it because he keeps nagging at him, keeps on at him, because of his importunity. And I say to you, ask, and ye shall receive. Now, you know, in life, just because you ask for something, you don't necessarily get it. If you seek something you've lost, you don't necessarily find it. And if you knock at the door, it isn't necessarily opened, even if people are within. And yet Jesus is here saying that in spiritual things, these things are inevitably true. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and ye shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then he goes on to comment, having mentioned about importunity, that God will give good gifts. No, that's what he taught before. Here he says there is one good gift supremely that should be sought. God will give lots of good gifts, which is what he taught in Matthew. But there is one good gift that we might not ask for. And therefore we have this direct instruction of the Lord Jesus. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? But we might not ask. There were those, you remember, in the scripture who did not know if there was indeed any Holy Spirit. And we who know that there is Holy Spirit might not ask. And there's a little more to it than that. In John 14, and these are chapters 14 and 16 of John, which are full of Jesus' instruction about the Holy Spirit's coming after he's gone. But in John 14, and in verse 17, Jesus says, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now there is a difference between him dwelling with us, among us, and being within us, but I don't think that's the only point here. The Lord Jesus is saying, when I have gone to glory, I will pray that you have the Comforter, which the world doesn't know about. You already have him. You already know him. But I'll pray that you might know him more. And therefore here, when we're called upon to ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit, we couldn't be believers if we did not already have the workings of the Holy Spirit in our heart. If he wasn't already, in a way, resident in our heart. But here the picture is, as it is elsewhere in the scriptures, that we may ask the Holy Spirit specifically time and time again for each of the situations in life as they arise. And that, of course, is the context here. A situation arose for which this man wasn't prepared. A friend, very nice situation, a friend came to stay, but he came a bit late, came at midnight, and he actually didn't have the things in that he could supply with him. Now, we don't actually have all the resources we need. Indeed, in fact, we don't have any resources without the Holy Spirit, because all our old resources were in Adam. So it is imperative for us to ask time and again for the Holy Spirit that our resources might be in God, in Christ. But still more, situations arise that we may never have met or may never have expected, and they arise suddenly, and it is very easy to handle them in the old Adam, in the flesh, in the old way, in the way we would have done before we were a believer. And we suddenly find that we've acted and cleared our pitch and never even asked the Lord to help us. Now that is a real possibility. And therefore, the Lord Jesus counsels us on a regular basis to ask the Father to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That for each situation, that in each, for each day as it arises, and as things come upon us thick and fast in the middle of a working day, or in a tragedy that arises out of the blue and a phone call comes, that we ask the Holy Spirit be given to us to cope with all these things. And it's this that was particularly shown us, I think, in the hymn, wasn't it? His, that gentle voice we hear, that checks each fault, that calms each fear. And every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness are his alone. And it's his presence and help and comfort and guidance that we need, and that therefore we are specifically to ask for. He is the Spirit who was in Christ when he was on earth, and Christ had not the Spirit by measure, John 3:34. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is given sovereignly to those who seek him. Some gifts are given out of the blue, so to speak, and surprises. Others are given us in response to situations that we need. I wanted, therefore, to take you just very briefly through a few scriptures, and I used the earlier hymns that we had as part of a teaching ministry to tell us what the whole range of the Spirit's gifts are. He quickens the dead by the word of his grace. He opens the eyes of the blind, then leads to the Saviour for pardon and peace and blessings of every kind. We've had that. He sweetly unfolds the great mysteries of heaven. But each believer needs the presence of the Holy Spirit when he reads the scriptures, forbidding the sinner to fear, gives faith to believe all his crimes are forgiven, helps him to wrestle in prayer. We may need help to concentrate in prayer, help to bring issues, help to find words to express the thoughts. And so it is that in all these things we've been taught by the hymns that we've sung, but I want us to turn just to two or three scriptures and see how we might ask the Father to give the Holy Spirit to us. Now, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul is speaking about the fact that he's in prison. And he says that these things have happened to him for the furtherance of the gospel, never mind about the prison, so that his bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. And many of the brethren are waxing confident by his bonds. That's Philippians 1:14. That is to say, people who perhaps wouldn't have spoken up for Christ, seeing that Paul isn't there to do it because he's in prison, they're going to go on and do it. People who wouldn't have done something, you know what it's like in a church, don't you? Nobody offers to do this or that. But if somebody dies or is taken ill and the work immediately needs to be done, offers do come. So when Paul was imprisoned, others began to do the work, and that was good. But then he comes down to verse 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Now, he doesn't mean his eternal salvation, because he's already a saved man. He knows that what he means there is that it will bring success to the outcome that he's in prison and that he has opportunity to the gospel. Okay? I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think one of the old versions, perhaps the Geneva version, had the full impact of the Greek word, which is made up of two parts. The extra supply. Now, what he's saying here is, you see, I value your prayers, fellow Christians. Fellow Christians in Philippi. I'm in this situation. I'm in prison. I'm preaching the gospel. Now I'm in prison. I'm not able to get about like I was, but people do come to me. But it's fallen out so that the gospel goes into places that I might not have gone to, because others who are now doing it, there's more than there was the one of me, but there's more of them, and they get to other places. I know that this will turn to a good outcome. But it does need your prayer. I do value your prayer. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now we come to the point. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Had Paul not been filled with the Spirit before? Had Paul not had a supply of the Spirit before? Had he not frequently been blessed of the Lord by the spiritual ministry and his spiritual understanding of the word? The answer is, of course he had. But he is still conscious that he needs a further supply. He needs a supply for today. He needs a supply for his prison. He needs a supply to encourage and to instruct those who are going out when he can't go out. He needs a further supply. And this is the point that I'm really trying to press home to us, that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, but we don't say, I know the Holy Spirit has worked in my heart because I've been born again, and I know he works in my heart because sometimes he gives me understanding of the scriptures and I feel his close presence. There is no restriction on asking for the supply, or the Holy Spirit to be supplied, or for the Holy Spirit to supply his instruction, his wisdom, his help, in all sorts of situations, even though we may have had the supply frequently before. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, so that I can speak boldly. And again, he's not saying, I want you to pray like we were thinking on Tuesday, like a vicar would pray. People ask us to pray for them because they won't pray for themselves. Paul prays for himself. But he asks for the others to join with him in prayer, share with him in the work, and be a blessing, and know that the Holy Spirit will be supplied beyond what Paul would have asked for because of their identification with the work. So the supply. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Now this leads me to another point before I pass on to another text. I always remember the words of the hymn, the bride eyes not her garments, but the bride eyes not his garments, but his dear bridegroom's face. Her dear bridegroom's face. In other words, it's very easy to have our eyes taken off of the Saviour because we value the blood. Let's put it that way. And here we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It would be very easy for our eyes to be taken off the person of the Godhead, the third person of the Godhead, because we value his gifts. It would be like appreciating a person for their capabilities, but not for themselves. And so, it's the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But we are to ask for the Holy Spirit, and therefore we are to have the dealings that we have with him as with a person. I'll come to that later, but in case I don't have time to make the point fully, just remember not only the things that the Spirit can give us and the gifts and the help, but stay to appreciate the instructor, the giver. But I'll try and come to that later. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Sorry, verse 17. It's surprising when you come to look at it how many Trinitarian verses there are in the Bible, in the New Testament. This is one of them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, may give you the spirit who bestows wisdom and who reveals the scripture and who may well reveal your heart and your need as well. The word revelation is unqualified there. But there, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. He comes when the Father instructs him, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit. But Jesus also says, I will send the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit goes at the united request of the first and second persons of the Trinity. And if one asks, or the other asks, so to speak, they're always unanimous, so it wouldn't matter if he was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, who wouldn't send him for any different reason from the Father, or if the Father sends, it would be to fulfill the work of the Lord Jesus. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom. We should ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit gives wisdom and revelation. Wisdom. Some people say that you can talk to the Father in your prayer, and you can talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, but not to the Holy Spirit. Now, he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus stressed in John 14 and 16, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth, and he is our wisdom. He will teach the disciples all things, and though the things which concerning the writing down of the scriptures have all been completed, yet in our turn, he will teach us all these things we need to know. And all I say is, whoever thought of not being able to speak to a teacher? Whoever thought that they couldn't address themselves to the one who's going to teach them? Ask questions of him. Ask for clarification. Ask for explanation. Ask for what the next step would be. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is to be enjoyed as a person, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember so well, and happily, the situation has not evaporated since. But when I first became a Christian, and I had this longing always to be out playing games and things, you know, instead of doing my homework and things. And then when I was aware that the Lord Jesus sends his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, sometimes I said it was Christ that was with me, sometimes the Holy Spirit. But how I enjoyed and forgot all the other things for the joy of having him help me with my homework and for the joy particularly of helping me understand the scriptures which then were new to me. In other words, not just the things that the Holy Spirit instructs, but the pleasure of the company of the instructor. You look forward to learning when you look forward to going to be to a teacher. I know when I was being coached for the 11 plus, I detested going to those lessons. I didn't like the person at all. He was grumpy and I didn't like his method or anything. But how different it is if you long to meet the teacher. How much more willing you are to open your heart. How much more willing you are to go and to do the work. And therefore, if the Holy Spirit gives wisdom and revelation in Christ and tells us these things, how we should enjoy his company. James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask, nothing doubting. And that wisdom there is put for everything we need. Not just wisdom, if we lack wisdom, but if we lack anything, any quality, any response, any understanding, we may ask the Holy Spirit. So he is the Spirit who gives wisdom. He gives spirit to, his Spirit is to give wisdom to understand the scriptures, to be able to respond correctly to situations in life, to handle not only the difficult people and situations, but lest we be proud, to deal with the straightforward and happy situations wisely. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom. And he is the Spirit who reveals. Well, we know that. Our first dealings with the Spirit were that our sins should be forgiven and the way of salvation was revealed to us. And it may have been utterly foreign to us that it was a way of substitutionary atonement. That it was a way through Christ, the Son of God. It wasn't revealed in Old Testament days fully until the coming of Christ. It was a mystery that was hidden. But he reveals. And it is a treasure to be able to ask the Father to grant us the presence of the Spirit to reveal. And Jesus speaks, of course, of truth. John 14. The Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, we're told twice that he is the Spirit of truth in John 14:17 and in John 16:13. And particularly because there is so much error about religion. It's the easiest thing in the world to get hold of wrong ideas of Christ, wrong ideas of the Bible, wrong ideas of the Christian life. And before you are a Christian, to have false ideas of religion and to oppose all sorts of things that you know nothing about. So the Holy Spirit is categorized by the Lord Jesus Christ as the Spirit of truth. Now, how we need to ask the Father to grant us the Spirit to teach us truth. We live in very complicated days. Very difficult to know the truth of many things. And certainly to know the truth, if it be important to know it, of what goes on in the seats of power behind the scenes. But I wasn't thinking of those sorts of truth particularly. I was thinking of to know the truth that saves. To know the truth that builds up a believer. To know the truth and be able to distinguish between the false and the true, between the wheat and the chaff. To be able to distinguish that which is right from that which is wrong, morally and in all sorts of other ways. To be able to tell, therefore, that which is genuine from that which is false. Peter had a great gift of the Holy Spirit in being able to discern And that was true of Paul too. You remember the damsel who actually followed them crying about the situation. But here's the spirit of truth. Do we value truth? Do we want truth? Do we feel a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, a lack of breadth, of scope? Do we get that feeling that other generations of Christians have known more of the truth than we do, and perhaps our age is more desperate to know the truth than theirs was, and how badly we're placed? Let us ask then the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit in his capacity as the Spirit of truth. And in the same passages, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, of truth. Another comforter. Jesus was a comforter. Just to be with him, I'm sure they would have felt that nothing could go wrong so long as he was there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As long as Jesus was there in his person, I'm sure that they felt that they were comforted. But after he was so cruelly dealt with, and after he was so cruelly crucified, but if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And the Holy Spirit is another comforter. We live many years, nearly 2,000. Since the time that the Lord Jesus was crucified. We do not know the Lord Jesus after the flesh, but we are not short of the same degree of comfort. It is the same comfort. We receive it from the presence of the third person of the Trinity, rather than the second, who is not here, it not being the days of his flesh. But how we need comfort. There are situations that we all face, of the workings of our own body and our ill health, where we need comforting. There are setbacks. There are tragedies when, perhaps even when we're children, parents are taken from us, and we need comfort. And this is the supreme ministry, we may say, in some ways, of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord Jesus speaks of it first. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. As if that ministry, above all his ministries, was the ministry that would go most help, be most helpful and be most acceptable to his beleaguered followers. Ask, therefore, for the Holy Spirit. Well, there are many other descriptions of the Holy Spirit. He's described as the spirit of burning in Isaiah 4, verse 4. And maybe we would ask the Lord Jesus to send the Father to send the Holy Spirit, that things might be burned out of our lives that are bad. If you think of metal, they need to be purified. If you think of standing corn, it may be made to burn because it is diseased. But he is described as the spirit of burning. He's also described as a sanctifying spirit, given a number of qualities in Isaiah 11 and verse 2. But as I begin to draw to a close now, let me point you to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where we read, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." So the Holy Spirit particularly gives power to witness. This is what happened at Pentecost. This is what the Lord Jesus speaks about. This gospel is going to turn the world upside down. It's got to get across the whole world. And therefore, supremely, the power of the Holy Ghost is given to witness. Now, there are at least two aspects of this. One aspect is that we might be given the words, that we might be given the courage, that we might be given the boldness. But the other aspect is, of course, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will do the work of changing. No words of ours can change. We can give food for thought. We can make them very angry and they'll turn away. But whether it be in response to anger, or whether it be in response to food for thought, only the Holy Spirit can give that renewing. In Titus 3:5, it's called the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who renews life, who saved us and who changed us. And therefore we desire that as we witness, we may not only have boldness, but they may be renewed. I sometimes have said to you that when I have a bad throat, I'm very conscious of struggling in the pulpit, because all I'm aware of is actually trying to get out what I've prepared. When I'm fit and well and all right, I don't think of myself. I just think of trying to get into you in a way that you will understand and the way that you will respond to the things that I know that I've prepared that the Lord wants for you. When I'm not well, I think of myself. How can I get it out of me? When I'm in full flow, I think of you and how I can get it across to you. Now, perhaps those of you who are teachers know exactly the same thing. When you're off colour, it's just merely putting the thing across. When you feel well, you're seeking for ways to bring out of the people the response that you're desiring. When we ask for power to witness, we shouldn't most of all be seeking the power to get it out of our own heads. That, of course, is part of it. That we shall have the words to say, that we shall be wise to the opportunity. But the main thrust is that the witness finds root in people's hearts and lives, and that the Spirit transforms them by the word that we have brought. For the word of the Lord does not return to him void, but does accomplish that for which it is sent. But simply, that we might pray for power, that our witness may be full, both on our side and in the response of the Holy Spirit. So in our text, we're told to ask. Ask, and ye shall receive. Just then, ask, because this is the greatest gift that anyone could have. To have residing within us, for however short a time, or permanently, the third person of the Trinity is a great privilege. He resides within us permanently, but we are not always aware of his workings. So we need to ask. But what a great gift it is. No one has a greater gift. The gift of wealth, the gift of status in a community, the gift of power, personal standing. None of these things remotely compare with God himself. The glorious third person of the Trinity residing within and helping us in particular situations. If that be a great gift, then it is a great privilege. It is a great privilege to walk with God. It is a great privilege to have him as our teacher. There were in schools of the old day, sort of grammar school that I went to, certain teachers who had such a reputation in the school that everybody wanted to have those teachers. Not everybody got them. And some of them merely taught in the sixth form. And you hoped if you went on to do that subject in the sixth form that you would have that teacher. Teacher was on top of the subject. There's no question you would be able to ask that he wouldn't be able to answer or refer you to the best place to look or the best book to read, who would change your approach. And it was a privilege to be taught by a teacher like that. And even boys of 16, 17 knew that. What a privilege it is, therefore, to be taught by the Holy Spirit. But with privilege comes responsibility. Not only is it a great gift, not only is it a great privilege, but you remember the Lord said, freely ye have received, freely give. We have a great responsibility to teach and to pass on and so to live that we may commend the things we've learned, the things that we teach, the things of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we represent, that we may have such a responsibility to others because we are taught so wonderfully. And it was not of our doing. We'd have none of these understanding of our own bad, but it was given us. Time was invested into us. The power of the Spirit was upon us. Therefore we have responsibility. We have it to our generation. We have it to our children, the generation following, and to the generation after that, if it be pleased that the Lord shall continue. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I was aware that I needed to foreshorten much. I haven't even talked about holiness and sanctification, but all these things are subsumed under the presence of the Holy Spirit to instruct us. Amen.